The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Time to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. As the Nuggets lost yesterday, and despite the fact that they, you know, made another patented Nuggets comeback in the fourth quarter, down 13 at one point, to actually take the lead on a Jamal Murray three, they gave up a game-tying three to Luka Doncic from way out top, and then a Kyrie Irving running left-handed hook across the lane for the game winner. It led to I haven't timed them all, but this had to be, if not the shortest, one of the shortest Michael Malone press conferences after the game, in which he was angry and he was terse. And well, here's the press conference. What was the difference in the game?
Fluke day. I mean, I guess it was a fluke day. I mean, I can't remember the last time we got rebounded by 22.
All right, what about the last possession?
I saw Kyrie Irving make a running left-handed hook from the elbow. We've been on both sides of it. You know, we've won games at the buzzer, and now we lost the game at the buzzer. Give them credit. Give Kyrie credit. Obviously, there's a lot of things down the stretch that we could have done better.
Did you like the defense on that final possession?
Yeah, if a guy's going to beat us making a left-hand, off-handed hook shot from the elbow, yes, I did.
And that's it.
By the way,
he was hot.
He was mad, but where did the term the elbow come from?
Oh, the elbow?
What is the etymology of the elbow?
Off to the side of the free throw line?
Yeah.
The paint?
Top of the key, right? Yeah, right off the side? Key. Where did the term elbow come from?
Well, not exactly the top of the key.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, right, yeah, where the
foul line. Yeah. Top of the, right at the foul line, just extended each side.
So where do the
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, a little circle around the foul line right there at
the elbow. I don't know. I'll ask our personal Siri.
How did that become the elbow?
Text line. Anybody know the origin of the elbow? So what's the point? Oh, you just want to know
about
that?
I always find it fascinating. There's a lot of things that I say that are part of football parlance that I have no idea how they became.
Right, we just say it.
Right, how they became part of football parlance.
Right. Like, when did three goals in a hockey game become a hat trick?
Right.
Right?
Why is it the crease?
Great, I don't know.
So I don't know. I don't know either. I know. But I've heard, and I know, like, the elbow's like a 17-foot shot or whatever. He said a 20-footer, but, you know, I've heard it a million times, the elbow. I know exactly where the elbow is, but I don't know how it became the elbow.
There you go. Malone's reaction. Deconstruct it for me. What does it mean for a team that had been 11-1 since the All-Star break?
Mm-hmm.
That he's that angry at a loss where, by the way, we have him on record coming out of the All-Star break and apparently said the same things to the national TV crew, Ryan Rucco and Richard Jefferson, because they brought up the whole idea that Malone said, we're not going to sacrifice health for a playoff seed. We're all about the big picture. How do you juxtapose that with him stalking off the podium after a press conference in which he's fuming mad after the way his team got dominated on the glass?
Because I am sure, I'm 100% positive as we sit here, that Michael Malone addressed during the course of that game in several timeouts at halftime their inability to shut them off the offensive glass. I guarantee you he talked about it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he talked about it over and over and over again. And I guarantee you in the fourth quarter when they weren't picking up, they weren't shutting down, Dallas was getting second shot opportunities because of their offensive rebounding capabilities, that Michael Malone had had enough. And even though you go on a, 24 20-4 run. I think it was a 20-4 run to go ahead off the Jamal Murray 3-pointer. It still stuck in his craw. But that's what coaching is about. It's coaching. It's what we're doing. What it's being able to see the inevitability if this doesn't get rectified. And I've asked you guys 7 times to rectify it, and you haven't done it in this game. If it doesn't get rectified, this is just good enough to get us beat in the playoffs. Like I mean, I've been coached so many times that way. I can totally see where the frustration for Michael Malone comes from.
I love the Malone rage timeouts. Just where he stands up, walks on the floor, pops the timeout signal, and just starts yelling and fuming. And there was one where right in front of the Nuggets bench, Dallas got like 2 or 3 offensive rebounds and some no-name put the ball in for a layup. And he just, I mean, the ball hadn't even cleared the net before he was stalking on the floor, calling a timeout and yelling, rage, rage.
I'm untethered and my rage.
Rage.
No bounds.
Rage. But you're right. That's coaching. Mm-hmm. And when you are playing for a championship or bust, you take every possible weakness or problem that could be an issue in the playoffs, that could be a fatal flaw, and you hammer it home. And in this case, you get out rebounded 60-37. You give up 22 offensive rebounds. That's effort. That's effort.
Sure.
Anybody who's played basketball from the lowest levels on up understands that, yes, there is a technique to rebounding. Of course, there is a technique. There is some technique. But 80% of rebounding is want to. 80% of rebounding is just effort.
By the way, I totally, this is how I coached. This is how I got kicked out of Little League games by my wife. Because, like, I don't care if you stink. But you better give effort. It takes no talent to give effort. Zero talent.
Right. Right. Papa Murphy's, home of Take and Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Got to read this text. Mark, I think Evans has taken ownership of I Told You So Island.
What?
First, he was against giving Russell Wilson a new contract right away. Then he suggested tanking. And with the Broncos' current situation in the draft, fans are wishing we lost more games so we could secure our quarterback of the future. He was right.
No.
While I do not expect to take over the island, I do think that I deserve my own, like, cabana there. Or my own little guest house.
This is a good conversation.
Who is the dude at OJ's buddy?
Cato.
Yeah,
Cato.
I need to be the Cato of your island, you know? Or, you know, the old Magnum or the new Magnum. Mm-hmm. Either one had his own little nice place there at Robin's Nest. I think I deserve something like that on I Told You So Island.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have running water at the island, so you could, you know, be in charge of the outhouse, the Mike Evans, Mom Jean's outhouse. You know what? Now, you were totally against giving Russ the contract. I've got to give you full credit on that. I was not one that was like, give him anything he wants, he deserves it all. But I wasn't on the give him a new contract bandwagon. I think I leaned more toward you, although I wasn't opposed to giving him a new contract. So I'll give you that credit. And I will never, ever, ever. The tanking thing is stupid, because the tanking thing is you're saying to me, Texter, that you're basically espousing the take anybody theory. If you were 1, 2, or 3, would get a quarterback of the future that's going to be.
No.
Sure.
I'm not. I do not believe Sean is a throw a dart at the quarterback.
No. I'm saying that's what the texter's saying.
No, but you do give. But let's say Sean really loves Caleb Williams. Or let's say Sean really loves J.J. McCarthy or loves any of these loves any one of these quarterbacks. Because, again, Sean's not going to be a pick-a-quarterback, any quarterback guy.
Right.
He's not that lazy. But, Sean, if you tank, as I suggested back at the beginning of the season and got ripped for it, suddenly you look at it differently. And if you're sitting there with the top pick or the one of the top two or three picks, at least you increase the odds of getting the guy that Sean loves without having to mortgage future draft capital.
Yeah,
just admit it would have been better with the benefit of hindsight if the Broncos had tanked.
No, absolutely not. Because then you don't find anything out about, you don't find what you want to find out about Russell Wilson or Jerry Jeudy or any of the players that you're trying to figure out.
Well, if you tank, you go 3-14, you'll learn everything you need to know about those guys along the way. So face it, the winning streak in the middle of the season was a mirage because they went on a unprecedented run of forcing turnovers that you can never count on. And that it would have been far better if they had lost those games.
No, I'm going with my Terrell Davis. You don't ever tank. Winning is important at any level.
So you think they got a lot of... All right, then here's what I want to know.
Okay.
I want you to list the value of what they got out of going 8-9.
Okay.
And why it was better than if they went 3-14.
Okay.
All right, you'll do that next.
Yeah.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
So when the Broncos lost their second game of the season to Washington, they had just taken that juicy, attractive start to the season with the schedule, Raiders and Commanders at home. They had lost both games, and they're sitting at 0-2. And then they went to Miami and lost 70-20. So they're 0-3, sitting at 70-20, and that is when I came out and said, look, just tank. Just tank. You see where this thing is going. Tank. Tank. And you and Terrell Davis and other pearl clutchers were like, no, no, you can't tank. That sends a bad message. All right. They didn't tank.
Yes.
Ended up going on a 5-game winning streak, but ultimately fell short, missed the playoffs, went 8-9, and find themselves kind of in that no man's land of drafting 12th. So, Mark, with the benefit of hindsight, what value did they gain by not tanking?
So let me ask you this. What have we been talking about? What's one thing that when a new coaching staff and, you know, a new an organization goes under massive change like the Broncos have, or any organization has, what's the first thing that everybody talks about? Reestablishing what?
A culture.
A culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you roll in here with a new coaching staff, and that coaching staff automatically starts resetting the culture. You know how they put competition lane or whatever it is out there. Sean Payton excommunicates the non-essentials from being downstairs where the players are. Like, all the different things they did as an organization to reestablish culture. And then you decide, hey, but by the way, we're just going to roll over and lose games? Or we're not going to put ourselves in a position to win games by the way we call them? What does that do to your culture? Because culture is not something static. You can't say one thing and preach another, because then you're a total and complete hypocrite and nobody buys into you, and you lose credibility as a coaching staff. You lose credibility as a head coach. So you can't have it both ways. You can't establish a culture and say, hey, man, we're not about losing anymore. We're not about, like, rolling over anymore. We're going to be competitive, and we're going to do the things we need to do to be competitive, and we're going to make hard decisions, and we're going to fire guys, and we're going to do all those things. But at the same time, we're going to lose so that we can go get some kid that has to snuggle his dog at night and cry to his mom when he doesn't win. That's going to... You can't have it both ways.
But how much did you really gain in the first year building a culture when in year two you've acknowledged, not outwardly, but you've acknowledged with your actions, that you're ready to do something that hasn't been done here with the Broncos in forever, and that is admit you're rebuilding. So for all the supposed stuff that you gained last year, you're still basically setting your franchise clock at zero.
Yeah,
but right for this year.
But the people who
why not, if this is going to be setting the clock at zero and starting the rebuild, then I think it would be easier to start the season clock at zero with a rebuild if you had come off a season in which you ended up with the third overall pick or second overall pick instead of the 12th. I just don't know how much you gained last year if your biggest takeaway from what you gained last year was that, okay, now we're entering a rebuild.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm just going to give you a list of names, okay? Chicago. New York Jets. Falcons. Giants. Arizona Cardinals. What do they have in common?
They're all picking near the top of the draft.
They're all picking near the top of the draft. And what did they have in common for years and years and years? They're always picking at the top of the draft. Why? Because their culture sucks. So I think some of the misnomer is that if we just get a top of the draft pick, if we just roll over and we don't adhere to the culture that we're trying to set, and we just roll over and we get a top draft pick, that kid is going to come in and change. How many guys come in here and actually change the culture of an organization? I mean, beyond Joe Burrow, name one that has taken a crap franchise and automatically made it where it's not drafting. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals, Mike, I can't tell you how many times, this used to be something I'd do every game. Every game they have, sitting at your locker, they have the game day program.
Mm-hmm.
Every time in 12 years of playing in the National Football League and starting in the National Football League, every year I would sit in my locker when you played Cincinnati, whether it was home or away, and marvel at the number of first-round draft choices that were on the Cincinnati Bengals roster and the fact that they still sucked. Dude, you would play their defense consistently. They'd have seven first-rounders on their defense. Seven guys picked in the first round starting on their defense, and they sucked. We'd roll them absolutely roll them. Why? Because they weren't talented? Nope, they were talented. Because the culture of that organization was horrible.
Well, then tell me how the benefits gained last year in going 8-9, culture-wise, will be felt this year in a year in which they're making it clear they're rebuilding.
Because all the players that they bring in with the draft picks that they accumulate, there is going to be a standard of the way you work, the way you prepare, the way you study. And you know what? Guys who half-ass it in drills or half-ass it as secondary route runners, those guys get shipped to Cleveland. So that stuff won't be tolerated.
Yeah, I still think you could have weeded out the bad apples and still gone 3-14, 4-13, and still been able to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish going into this year.
I would disagree with that, but I mean, again, they are where they are.
True, true. We're plowing over old ground, but you know, just I don't think it'd be the worst thing if they were coming off 4-13 instead of 8-9.
Yeah, because then they could get Drake May.
Come on now. They would at least increase the odds of Sean Payton being able to get the guy. I think there's a decent chance that one of these five quarterbacks that are expected to go in the first round that Sean really, really likes. I don't think he'd throw a dart at all five, but I think there's a good chance there's at least one out of the five he really, really likes.
I would be willing to bet right now that in 3 years, 3 years from now, Caleb Williams will look a lot more like, who's the prince over there in Jacksonville? What's that guy's name?
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. He'll look a lot more like Sunshine than he will Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. Look, the odds, the numbers suggest that there'll be, let's say if there are five quarterbacks that go in the first round. Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Nix. The odds tell us, based on over the last 20 years, one of these guys will end up being a franchise quarterback. That's it. The other four will flop.
Yes.
At best, one will turn out to be a franchise quarterback. Lawrence's class, none yet.
Okay, would you take the bet then that of those five guys that you talk about, so who are our top five?
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix.
That one, I would bet right now that one of those guys, one of the four over Williams, like I'll take the field over Williams as being the one franchise quarterback.
Okay, I think that'd be a smart bet on your part. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, everybody came out and said this guy's generational,
including Sean.
Yeah, he's generational. I'll take the field.
Up next, what's trending? Deion Sanders making the rounds. We'll hear from him. And, oh, you want to talk about this close? You want to talk about sports being a game of inches? Oh, we saw it yesterday. Details next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Good weekend for the Avalanche as they continue to roll since the trade deadline. They're out on the road, and they're now 3-0 on the road after a playoff-style win over the Oilers. Beat Crude 3-2 in overtime the other night. Jared Bednar taking a look at his hockey team right now and like what he sees.
It's a different group for us now. Like, right, we've added all these players and we have a little bit different personality. Guys are re-energized after the trade deadline. New guys coming in, and we're still sort of finding, you know, how the pieces all fit together.
Here's the key, though, and we were having this argument with James Marilat about systems, right, and about coaching to what you have rather than trying to force a system. The Avalanche, part of what made these moves that they made at the trade deadline, at least in the early going, so impactful, was they have a model. They have a system. They know what works for them. And so when it comes to finding players, they're able to instantly narrow their focus because they know what works. They have a system in place. So if they decide, well, if we're going to find the second line center that we need in Casey Mittelstadt, we're probably going to have to give up Bo Byram. But in order to replace a Bo Byram, or in order to trade a Bo Byram, we need to feel confident about who we're replacing with him with. So we go out, we look, and oh, there's Sean Walker there from Philadelphia, who is a really good skating defenseman, offensive-minded defenseman. Look at the game the other night. He scores two goals on two really good offensive plays. And you fit the guy into your system, which allows you then to turn around a Bo Byram and go out and fill another hole. So there is an idea. These teams don't just randomly go out and add pieces to their team.
Right.
They do so within the construct of a formula, of a system.
You always are adjusting your system based on a guy's strengths and weaknesses, but it's still in the context of that system. And for Sean, who is a bit old school, comes from the Parcells tree, one of the things that, I mean, he's referenced this. You still at some point got to win from the pocket. And ultimately, if your quarterback can't win from the pocket, you know what it eliminates your ability to do? Win a championship. Now, listen, if you just want to win games and skate into the playoffs with an MVP quarterback and then get your ass bounced out, Baltimore, be my guest. But if you're really trying to win a really want to win a championship, if that's what you're about, well, then you're going to have a guy that can win it from the pocket when teams force you to win it from the pocket.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, when asked in Pittsburgh what went wrong in Denver, well, you tell me, is he making excuses?
You know, in life, you know, a lot of times that when things don't go your way, you can look at it as disappointing, you can look at it as growth moments. And so for me, you know, my first year I had, you know, my lat, I was playing on it, pushing through it. You know, should I have done that? You know, you compete every day. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that everything didn't go our way the first year, this past year, I felt like myself again. So I can't wait to just put on the cleats and go after it.
Right, yeah. So what are you hearing? Felt like myself again. Well, so I could perceive pressure in the pocket and scramble around and take four sacks and end up getting sacked 45 times. And I mean, like,
so is his excuse for what happened the first year? I played the whole season injured.
Yeah, I played with a bad lat. Those old lat.
What'd you say? Fat?
Fat.
You said fat? Did you say fat?
Yeah. First year.
Did I hear fat? Was that lat or fat?
Yeah. Pulled some fat.
Oh, what?
Pulled my fat.
Played fat.
I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat.
Deion Sanders. Holy smokes. This guy. Where's he get all his energy? He is just like making the rounds everywhere, promoting his new book. And
Stop by the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and talked about a number of subjects, including coaching his kids.
This is our last hurrah, man. Like, we're coming down the home stretch.
Your kids aren't going to be there.
I've coached them ever since they've been babies, so it's going to be a great year, but it's going to be a tough year emotionally because, you know, this is it.
Yeah, you're a dad. You love your kids.
Yeah, but yeah. I got to send them off so they can make a lot of money and they can come and take care of dad.
Are you convinced he'll want to continue to coach after he's done coaching his kids this year? I'm not saying, because everyone's been concerned about the idea that he's going to just use CU as a stepping stone. He's going to go take the bag somewhere else. What about the idea that
he just
walks away from coaching after this?
Or he gets on somebody's staff that drafts Shador. I mean, you can see that, right?
No, I have enough respect for Deion Sanders as a parent that he wouldn't do that. That it would be, okay, time for you to fly the nest. I'm not going to follow you to wherever you're going and make sure that...
Well, I mean, coaching is their little boy.
Sean Payton's taking good care of you. Huh? What? Did I just try to speak that into existence?
Huh?
Maybe that's the overall plan?
Do you see... I
believe in Sean Payton.
I haven't really thought about...
Is that the master plan? Oh, now all of a sudden tanking doesn't sound so bad, huh, people? If I bring Shador into it.
Listen, man. Tanking is a bad idea. You got a lot of support on the text line, Mike. I'm not gonna piss all you texters off right now. They call it
right
soft.
Now. Right now. Keyword being right now. Check back with me later in the day or by tomorrow
soft
morning.
Lack of knowledge.
So it was awesome. It was awesome TV sports viewing yesterday. Going back, the Nuggets.
How many naps did you take during the sporting events yesterday?
None, because now
I dozed several
because
if I
had just stayed with the golf, the Players Championship, no matter how good the golf was, I would have fallen asleep at some point. There's nothing better than a quick golf nap, okay? Mm-hmm. But because there was so much, there was the Nuggets, there was the Players Championship, good game between Wisconsin and Illinois, and also the understanding that the basketball selection show is about ready to start. So it was awesome viewing. And how about the finish of the Players Championship, where Denver's own Wyndham Clark had a chance at a birdie putt on 18 to force a playoff with Scottie Scheffler.
Oh! Unbelievable. How did that not drop? But Scottie Scheffler is the 50th Players Champion.
Let's go, kid.
And the first to go back-to-back in a half century.
Oh, man, this thing was down.
Right.
Did you see it?
Yes.
We talk about a game of inches. Sports can be a game of inches. There you go. That thing was down. That thing was going down, and it just spun right out.
It just feels like it defies
agony.
Gravity. How does that happen? It just defies gravity. Just gets a little momentum going around the
corner. Little centrifugal force there, and just...
Ooh. Big. It's big. Math may not be your thing, but science.
No, science wasn't my thing either.
Did you make a sign?
I was liberal arts.
Did you make a volcano for your science project?
Oh yeah, no, I definitely tried to take the easy way out with easy science fair projects.
Yeah,
photosynthesis, did that 1 year. That was easy. I just grew some plants.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. Did you do the volcano?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Tried and true.
Yeah, you never go wrong with that.
Never go wrong with that
baking
one.
Soda and vinegar. There's some food coloring in it.
I think I did one year that involved...
But I'm artsy, so, you know, the art part of it was...
You are artsy, actually.
The art part of it was good. Like, my volcano was... It was a cross... So it was a cut in half.
Ooh.
So I had the inner workings of the volcano
okay.
in there.
And you drew...
There's a cross section, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that done.
Yeah, so you could see the tube was, like, a real plastic tube with a little beaker down there, so you could have the... You know, you could see the reaction. I did one science fair project one time, had set up in the basement that involved three white mice. Don't remember what it was, but I do remember one time.
Your mom let you bring white mice into the house?
Yeah, and it was down in the basement, and it was going great until I went down there one time to check on the project, and there were two white mice.
No, Mom. This is exactly how
Never found out what happened to the other mouse.
This is exactly what we decided to do with this.
It's all part of the scientific method.
That's right. Mice and cannibalism. The Mike Evans Science Fair project.
If you look at this other mouse, he looks a little heavier all of a sudden.
Yes.
That is what is a trending. And congratulations and good luck to CU and CSU both playing in the play-in tournament. CSU tomorrow against Virginia. CU Wednesday against Boise State. Make sure you get involved and be a part of our bracket challenge. Yeah, you don't want to miss out. Everyone's going to be talking about their brackets later on this week. You want to be a part of it, and you can have a chance to win $5,000 if you have that winning bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. It is free to play. Free entry, pick the winners, and you could win $5,000. Not a bad deal. Again, denversports.com/hoops. We'll open up the ramoslaw.com text line. A lot to react to as we close things out next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know, as an underrated, aggravating part of that Nuggets loss yesterday?
Lay it on me.
Did you see who was courtside?
Ugh. I see who was courtside? The only way they could have flashed more to courtside is if what's-her-head was sitting there.
Right? God, Mahomes and his wife got the Taylor treatment.
Yes.
I'm here.
Sitting courtside, all smiley. Knew he was rooting for the Mavericks, too.
Oh, yeah. Is he a Texas kid?
Texas Tech guy, right? Yeah.
His wife with a big cackle. She's a cackler.
So once again, Mahomes gets over on Denver.
Oh my
Mahomes.
I mean, it speaks volumes.
He's 18-1 against
how much heart and determination that we
have. Yeah, we got to play. Let's play. Turn this.
Yeah. Right? 17 straight games against the or 16 straight games. And then he just won with the Mavericks.
In case you wonder, we play that song because, let's face it, Patrick Mahomes, the boogeyman. Yeah. We have to try to sort of, you know, mythify. Just kind of take the myth and try to knock it down a little bit.
Mythical?
He's mythical, right? He's the boogeyman. So we got to try to make him a little less boogeyman-ish by mocking him. We mock him not because we mock him, but we mock him because we don't have him.
Yeah. We thought. Just two simple years ago, two short years ago, we thought we had the magic formula here. Turned out he pulled some fat and it was no longer.
This is not a drill.
Who knew
that Russell wasn't going to be able to do it?
Had nothing to do with Nathaniel Hackett. Had nothing to do with letting a guy who was at his most successful when he was throwing about 30 passes a game in Seattle. Had nothing to do with the fact that he was allowed to throw it, 40 or more times in a game. Had nothing to do with the fact that you let his people, his team, have unlimited access to the whole Dove Valley operation. Had nothing to do with the fact that you let his wife have different privileges than the rest of the players' families. Nope, had nothing to do with all that. It was a lat. It
was a lat.
It was a lat. It was my lat.
You know, in life, a lot of times that when things don't go your way, you can look at it as disappointing, you can look at it as growth moments. And so for me, my first year I had, my lat, I was playing on it, pushing through it. Should I have done that? You compete every day. You got to do what you got to do. And I think that everything didn't go our way the first year, this past year. I felt like myself again. And I can't wait to just put on the cleats and go after it.
Mm. And I gave Russ a ton of credit for the way that he responded to that first year, which was so much more than just a lat injury. Okay, he was out of shape, he was pudgy, he was bloated,
mm-hmm.
and he recognized that because he lost a lot of weight, came in much better shape, looked spry, looked athletic. I don't have any problem with the way that Russell Wilson played last year, or at least tried to go out and play. I think he played to his potential. I think he showed he is what he is, and he played as close to that potential as I think he could play at this stage of his career. What really pisses me off is that on his way out and in this press conference, no accountability, none, zero. And honestly, that was the case throughout the course of his time here. Whenever he was really asked and pressed to self-evaluate his performance, there was always a we, us, our, just got to be better. Hey, what happened yesterday is yesterday. Today, I got to be the best version of myself. There was never any real accountability. And that bothers me. As a Bronco fan, you deserve more. I'm not going to blame everything on the last 2 years on Russ. But damn, the dude hardly ever came out and really put it on himself, did he?
Never.
Never.
That was the thing. I mean, that's where I lost. Just play the music, by the way.
What music?
The smear music.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We didn't smear him yet.
Well, we've been smearing him for the last 3 minutes. Yeah. Just make it official. But where I had a real issue, Mike, is the game I called 2 years ago where he had referenced he had to play better in an article. And I read from the article. I sat there with him. Right here. This is what you said. I pointed it out. I have to play better. Give me two or three examples of where you have to play better. Well, we've got to, when we get into the red zone, we've got to, whether it's a, Court or whether it's Judy, we got to block and we just got to score. That's not what I asked you.
Let's
try it again.
Yeah.
Three times I asked him,
mm-hmm.
What do you have to do better?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't allow himself to go there.
But why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Why can't you just, how can you fix a problem if you never actually admit that there is an issue?
Well, that's why I say it is toxic positivity. There's positivity, and then there's toxic positivity. Toxic positivity is when you don't even allow yourself to come out and say, hey, I was in Denver for 2 years. We didn't come anywhere close
to what we expect it to do. And considering how much the franchise gave up for me, I feel bad. I feel like I let them down. And, you know, to all the Bronco fans out there, you know, I'm happy for this new opportunity, but I do feel bad that I wasn't better.
Oh, there's you. The key. There's the key term. You just said the
just
key word.
Just a little bit more I. Right. Just hear a little bit more I. And
little less French waiter, yeah. And a little bit more responsibility. I didn't play up to my potential. I let the franchise down. There's a lot of things that go into that, but ultimately I didn't play up to my potential, and I'm trying to fix it.
For all the Rusties out there, is there any part of you that's bothered by that as well? You can still make your reasons for what happened with Russ. You can still make your claims that Russ was done wrong, or you can still have your belief that the Broncos would be better off if Russ was still here. But is even for you Rusties out there, you hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Rusties, isn't there part of you that's upset that this guy really didn't take much accountability for these last 2 years? Because even if it wasn't his fault, he was partly responsible and at fault.
Mm-hmm.
You don't play the single most important position in all of sports.
Right.
Have a losing well below 500 record over those 2 years and not feel that I was a part of it.
Right.
Right?
Again, it goes back to that kind of that narcissistic victimhood mentality of wasn't my fault. Yeah, it's the ultimate finger point. And I'll admit it was their fault. It's not me. It's them.
For this texter, Neil, yeah. Stop talking about Russ. He's gone. He's a former Bronco. It's all been said. We all know he was a bust, an egomaniac. He's cringy and cheesy, zero accountability. He's just another guy playing quarterback in the NFL. Well, Neil, if it was that cut and dried, I'd agree with you. But the problem is that not everyone thinks he's a bust. Not everyone thinks he's an egomaniac. Plenty of people think he got done wrong. And more importantly, plenty of people think the guy that's left standing versus the guy who's gone is going to be a bigger problem for the Broncos moving forward than Russ has been. And that's Sean Payton. So, yeah, it continues to be a debate. Sorry. Because if Russ goes off to Pittsburgh and succeeds this year and has a really good year and leads the Steelers to the playoffs and the Broncos go 4-13, then guess what? People may have been right about Russ and right about Peyton. So it is a story and will be a story for a while. So deal with it.
Of course it's a story. And I, for one, am here for the drama between the Rusties and the Justin Fields. I mean, I don't know how.
Oh, man, if I was a radio host in Pittsburgh, I would be just
winner, winner, chicken. But how?
This is going to be good.
How? Okay, so there's a contingent of people in the national media that, you know, are so busy propping up Russ and propping up Fields.
Right.
Like, how are they going to differentiate between, right, like, that quarterback room?
Mind
blown.
Now, wait a minute. I've been all about Russ, and I've been all about Fields, and now they're together. Who do I pick?
You got to put them together like the one of the Bennifer things.
That's going to be fun to watch over there. I'm not going to lie. That is going to be fun
to
watch.
That's going
to be a grab
show.
Your popcorn.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.